Welcome to Yachting International Radio. You're with Corinne Rayson, the crew coach. And today we are talking about the importance of well-being at sea and what can get in the way of your mental health. Today I have Amber with us. Welcome, Amber. Amber has been working in the industry for 4 years now, and she is 25. And she's worked her way right up to the top, but she has some quite, I would say, what would the right word be? I want to say sad, harrowing experiences to share with us. But the reason why we are talking about these experiences is because we want to highlight the problem areas within our industry, but also where changes need to be made so that crew feel more supported. I'm so grateful to have counseling clients who are willing to share their story to help others, and it takes courage. So thank you so much, Amber, for showing up here for the community.
Thank you. I just had a thought before we started that it's, you know, those counseling sessions that we first had, that was purely for me, you know, and it did such a great deal to benefit me and change my life. And I thought this call is, it's not only for me, it's for other crew that need help as well. And hopefully something from this session can be passed on, and someone can watch this video and just maybe have the courage to leave a bad situation, or just feel better about themselves. Yeah. So thank you for having me.
Oh, no, my pleasure. And I was thinking a year, 2 years ago, there was no way you would be able to share your story. So it's taken a lot of work and healing for you to show up today to get to this point, because I know that inside of you, you at some point wanted to share this story, but the time had to be right for you to do so. So it just highlights how far you've come to get to this point.
Yeah, I just remember that version of myself, that girl where, you know, it took me a year to have the courage to have counseling sessions with you, and just the state that I was in compared to now, where I can, you know, talk about this confidently and without getting upset. And yeah, it's been a journey.
It certainly has. And on that journey, Amber, for you, it was like incident after incident. We were both, I think, in your sessions, just in shock, going, how has something else happened? How is this possible?
Yeah, it felt like each session that we had, it was just the tip of the iceberg. And that was just so much more that either I couldn't share, or, you know, we just didn't have enough time. But yeah, I am kind of sort of leaving the industry with memories that I will always cherish, and more the friends that I've made more than anything, and some of the places I got to go to. But otherwise, I've had a mostly negative experience. Yeah.
Okay, Amber. So are there particular experiences that you would like to bring here today in terms of what we can not unpack from a really psychological perspective, but just to share the inappropriate behaviors that occurred? Because, for example, bullying can include physical bullying, it can include psychological bullying, which involves gaslighting. It can look so different. So maybe you can share some of your personal experiences to highlight, you know, what that actually looks like.
Absolutely. I think I had a spectrum of all of those things. I experienced all of those things, emotional, physical, and sexual abuse across the whole thing. Emotional abuse from captains, from owners, from engineers as well. A lot of this was fueled by alcohol. They were either alcoholics or drug addicts or both. And I had to kind of experience that in and out of work. At sea, on the dock, you know, sometimes people even whilst I wasn't even safe whilst I was sleeping. I had a drunk captain come and bash on my door and say verbally disgusting, you know, disgusting, horrible things to me. And I had to lock my room after that every night. And I had, you know, owners and wives of owners do the same thing. So I wasn't even safe in my cabin. I guess this year, the best thing I could do for myself was make my room kind of a safe space, you know, and that's the best thing I've done for myself. Because if you experience abuse at work, you experience abuse in your home because you live at work as well. It's really just blurs the lines for everything in your life. Being unsafe on and off the boat.
Yeah. So, yeah, as you've highlighted, working and living on a vessel where, let's say, those inappropriate behaviors are occurring, so you do not feel safe.
Yeah.
Can one go? Like your hands are tied. So let's go back to your 21 self when you were a green crew member and you were experiencing abuse. How did you feel at the time? And did you reach out to anyone, whether it be DPA or yacht management company or the recruiter who placed you? Where was your head at?
I finished my training and I went to Antibes, and within 2 days I got my first job that I didn't apply for. Someone that I had met actually came up to me and asked if I was available to take this job and if I wanted it. And it was a sole student cook position on a 24 meter vessel, a private boat. It didn't have a yacht management. And I wasn't recruited for the role. And I think I just wanted the money and I wanted a job. I was scared that I wouldn't get another one, so I took it. I definitely wasn't experienced for that role. I trained as a stewardess and not as a deckhand or a cook. But I took it anyways and worked with them for a few months. And that was, that role was abusive, and so was the role after that. And I think I didn't have anyone to talk to and say, is this normal? And I thought that that's just the way the industry was and that I had to put up with it, that I just had to take it. Yeah. So it took a few months for me to leave, and, you know, I just wasn't sleeping and, was just highly distressed whenever I came back and saw my friends, because I was still living in the crew house, not on board, luckily. And just doing trips away and coming back. But I just jumped into the deep end, I guess. But the boat that I had after that was probably my worst that I've ever had. And that was, I was abused by the captain and the owners.
You must have been terrified, absolutely terrified.
I was so young. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say, how to defend myself, really. It took a long time to learn how to do that. Yeah. And just be like, this is not okay. You can't speak to me like that. You can't grab me. You can't hit me, you know, because that was the extent of my abuse. And I guess it was like having an abusive relationship, and it's not as easy as it seems to just leave. It's a lot harder than that.
And the sad thing is that the point you mentioned, you know, I thought I just had to put up with it because it's part of the industry. And so many people say that. And we call ourselves a 7-star professional industry. Like, really? Is that professional? Is that okay? I mean, if you were land-based and that occurred, there would be legal action occurring and probably criminal charges. So
absolutely.
Why is it in our industry that people are getting away with these things? And I think, there's a number of reasons, but what are your thoughts on that?
I wasn't completely naive to what goes on in the industry. We are slightly warned in our training that, you know, but it's more like that. They kind of warn you to not go out and drink a lot and actually have the crew misbehave. They don't really warn you about the guests and the owners and stuff. It was more about, this is a heavy drinking culture within yachting, and you might come into contact with pirates if you do this crossing and stuff like that. It wasn't really any training with how to deal with guests who are abusing alcohol and drugs, and also crewmates and, you know, your superiors as well. And I didn't really get that training until I went and looked for it myself and completed my mental health first aid training. And that was a big eye opener. And I thought, wow, I really needed this 5 years ago.
Yes. Yeah. So that's the first change that needs to occur, is to make it mandatory, the mental health first aid training as part of SCCW 95, but also really prepare green crew psychologically of what to expect in the industry. So what you could do is case studies and say, there's a situation, a guest is being inappropriate with you. How do you handle it? How do you manage it? Because our go-to response when we are stressed is either flight, fright, freeze. I know in my 20s, I would freeze and not do anything. Yeah. And that puts you at great risk.
Yeah.
So,
which is exactly what I did most of the time. I just froze, because you don't think that, if you think that if you react, you might make situations worse, you know. I'm really passionate and strong about including the mental health first aid in with the SDCW, because if you can push for, you know, for people to purchase your PB2 or your PWC licenses, I never use those things. Not once did I ever use those licenses, but I bought them on top of my, you know, SDCW training. They are extra, you know, training for that week. On top of that week, sorry, I'm rambling. But, you know, your food, level 2 food hygiene, we spent the whole day doing that. That's compulsory. We spent the whole day doing level 2 food hygiene, but nothing for mental health training, which is what I needed every day for myself, to deal with other people, to help crew as well who were suffering. You're not being trained to the point of a counselor or a psychologist, but just to have that basic training is so valuable. And it took me 2 days. You could really do it in one day if you pushed it. And I think that that's, would be a really big step to protect crew, I think.
Okay, so I've got 2 final questions for you. First one is, how have you applied your mental health first aid training since doing it? I know you've only done it more towards the end of your yachting career, but how have you used it?
More for myself, I guess. But also it just teaching you to recognize those signs in other people as well. I think I've only been freelancing since I've done that. But all of the situations where I did need that training, I kind of after I did it, I recognized it and thought, that's that, you know, that could have been. I mean, I had to deal with a temporary staff member who had taken drugs on a charter, and I believe they went into a drug-induced psychosis. And we had to make sure that he wasn't jumping overboard and fighting crew and guests and everything. And I made sure that he was watched 24/7 for 3 hours until we dropped him off. And I did my training maybe a week or 2 weeks after that. And I thought, if I had had that knowledge, I would have maybe really understood what was going on and not just, And the fact that I was completely calm throughout that situation, but the next day, that's when my trauma kicked in and I was just overwhelmed with emotion. And I had no aftercare with that from the company. which I then left.
It was terrible, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think I spoke about with you before, so I'm getting really tongue-tied all of a sudden.
No, you didn't. So, yeah, in terms of that lack of support, what did it look like for you from the yacht management company?
I spoke with the captain of that vessel. I spoke with the captain from the sister boat that I had previously worked on as well about my concerns with what happened, the situation, and myself as well. I said that I was okay then, but I'm not okay now. Mm. And nothing was communicated to management. No one checked up on me. And I just thought that was shocking. That one, we had to go through that situation alone and we didn't get help. And then the fact that there was no checkup afterwards to see if we were actually okay, the crew that had to deal with that situation, because it was very stressful. And because we were calm, it doesn't mean we were okay the next day or the next hour. There was no follow up.
Very poorly handled.
Yeah.
And then also going back to your mental health first aid training, we cannot deny that there's substance abuse within our industry. So being equipped in terms of how to handle, for example, a drug-induced psychosis is vital, because we're all about safety at sea. And that includes not only your physical safety, but psychological safety. And that's why it should be treated equally as important. So my hope is that, as I mentioned, that it will be a mandatory, vital piece of training within our industry before anyone steps on board. Mm-hmm. And then people need to be held accountable, because enough's enough. We cannot continue like this. Amber, one more question for you. If someone is experiencing bullying on board, what is your tip on how to manage that?
I have experienced bullying on board, and it's hard when you're experiencing that bullying from your superior, because then who do you go after that? I guess if you have a management company, then you could possibly go to them or speak with the people who are bullying you directly. But I've heard so many stories where the management team, favor the captain or the chief stewardess or whoever is in charge, and they let you go and they don't solve the problem. It's quite difficult, I guess, in that stage. It shouldn't be happening whatsoever. It's just, our jobs are hard enough, and to have abuse or bullying from the people that you work with, it just doesn't make things manageable. And it's really sad to hear the stories, over the last few weeks of crew ending their lives, and all the stories I've heard, before that, where things could have been dealt with in a completely different light, and it didn't need to happen. Whenever I hear stories like that, I'm really affected and sad for that person and their families, because it's just such a huge problem. Unnecessary problem. Suicide or self-harm from bullying.
And I think a huge thing as well is feeling like we are alone and we can't reach out for help, and to be suffering alone like that is just awful, to get to the point of wanting to escape it by choosing to end your life. I can't even imagine how that person would be suffering. It's not worth staying for. It's not worth fighting for. I would leave. People say longevity on your CV, but I'm sorry, it's not worth it. And if you are staying because of financial reasons, there are other options. There's always options.
Always. I guess that my advice, to my younger self or to anyone else that thinks that they have to stay in those situations, you don't. And I stayed for references that I never got, even though I worked so hard. I never got what I wanted. And I should have just been like, am I happy here? Yes or no? and that's it.
Yeah.
It really is as simple as that. Am I happy here? Am I supported? Who am I working with as well? So important. Mm-hmm. If I'm getting abuse from, you know, not only my owner or guests or whatever, and the people that I'm working with as well, what's the point? It's just, I feel like, in my opinion and my experience, I've suffered so much for a very small amount of benefits. The impact on my life has been, the negative impact on my life has been far greater than the positive. And if I could go back in time, I would just leave. I would just leave and I wouldn't put myself through that suffering.
Yeah.
Because there's always another job. There's always other work. And whenever I feared that I would never get another job again, I always did. I always found something. And that's, I guess that would be my advice.
Thank you. That's great advice, Amber. Well, again, much appreciated. So grateful for you for showing up today and serving our community in a huge way.
Thank you. Thanks, Karine. I forgot to say, also reach out for help. Get counselling as well. That's my biggest point. Yeah, I wouldn't be here as happy and confident as I am today if I didn't seek your help.
I'm so glad that you found the counseling helpful, and you were confident and to be able to reach out, because you said for 1 year you were thinking about it and it was a really tough move to make. And I don't think we should dismiss that fact, because asking for help is very, very hard. Very hard.
It's so hard, but it was the best thing that I could do for myself. And I think that, you know, if that's one thing that I forgot, you know, if you can take your crew out for a dinner and pay for an expensive dinner, do you think you could maybe pay for a counseling session for once a month for your crew, or once a year, or even twice a year? There's so many of these things that boats do, you know, go out for go-karting or go out for a dinner, or, you know, and drinks included and everything. And it's like, well, what are you actually doing to look after that person and to look after their mental health? Because I think that would be so much more valuable than taking them out for dinner.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's part of leadership, is understanding your crew and their needs.
Yeah.
But I have to run. My child is screaming in the background.
That's okay.
So lovely to see you. And again, thank you so, so much. And looking forward to staying in touch and hearing about your new adventures.
Thanks so much, Karine.